Blog Talk Radio.
Want to welcome you to another Sunday Night Live. I want to thank you for tuning in, and I do have a special, I call it a special treat on tonight. I found a what I call a throwback track. So it's a throwback worship track that I found, and I'm going to play that on tonight. That's going to be the first track that we play. It's going to be some raw music. Elder Jeremiah Jones from the church way back in the day, they used to be on the praise team. They were the praise team for the church. They used to always tear it up. Him and Sister Tiffany Edmonds, I believe she's a psalmist now, so she's doing her own thing. Spirit of Faith Church, she's doing her own thing over there at the Spirit of Faith Church, so she's doing her thing. And then you have Sister CeCe Black, Living the Word Ministries back in Hawaii. So we recorded that track back in Hawaii. Not we, but they recorded that track back in Hawaii. I was in the house, but it's a powerful track. And tonight, we're not going to be before you long. We just want to come to you with a little bit of word. Of course, this month is Halloween. We do want to encourage people to look as saints, being saved and as saints. We want you to think twice about the holiday. People say, you know, what difference does it make that I give candy to my kids or let my kids go out and partake in this event? But, you know, when John the Baptist came on the scene, there was one thing that was said, that the axe is at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not bear fruit shall be cut down and shall be thrown away. Every tree that does not bear fruit shall be cut down and it shall be thrown away. So I want you to think about that. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a little snippet here for you. This snippet is a snippet from a further show, from an earlier show that we did on Halloween. I'm going to also play another snippet concerning the prophetic, but we're going to play this track for you on tonight. And we're not going to be before you long, but we just want to encourage you a little bit and still just give you some information. We want to talk about some things that maybe your pastors may not talk about. And so that's one of the reasons for the show is to be strategically prophetic, which means it's you. Being strategically prophetic is not just being prophetic. You know, a lot of times people just think that the prophetic is only just to prophesy and tell you about your life, your future, your past, your present. But it's heavier than that. If the apostle and the prophet is the foundation of the church, then there is a lot of weight that we take on top of us. There's a lot of warfare. There's a lot of struggling. There's a lot of things that we do and we take upon our shoulders that a lot of people don't see while you are doing ministry unhindered, or you're doing ministry and it looks like it's easy. So there's a lot more to it than just being an apostle and being a prophet. So we're going to play this little snippet from the truth about Halloween, and then I'm going to play a little bit on the prophetic. And I do want you to hear this song that we're going to play later in the show. It is Because of Who You Are. It's a 15-minute rendition. It is very just prophetic. And it is just awesome. Some anointed musicians, and it's raw, uncut worship. I was surprised that I was able to find it and pull it back in. But I do want you to listen to that. If you get a chance, you can go back and look them up. And if you get a chance, you can go back and you can actually go back and just play it. And you can actually play the whole session and that whole you know message that we did on that. You can actually go back and play that. So I want to thank you for that. Well, if you are listening, you are tuned into the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Ward. Well, tonight I have some special music for you. And on tonight, we just want to encourage you. We want to talk to you a little bit about the prophetic, talk to you a little bit about Halloween. Keep that in your mind. We're going to get into that. If you have questions or comments, I want you to call in at 619-393-6483. Again, 619-393-6483. You are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast, and I am your host, Calvin Ward.
Halloween is a holiday that, you know, with Christians in the church,
What they do is at holiday, you know, a lot of Christians will still dress up their youth and their kids and send them on out there, and they celebrate Halloween. You know, some people say, well, I celebrate Halloween, and it's just a holiday. It's just something for the kids to do to have fun. But then on the flip side of that, you know, you have some that say, well, we don't celebrate Halloween, and we don't celebrate Halloween because it's a pagan holiday and this, that, or other. Well, what side of the fence do you get on? And should you be straddling the fence? Definitely, well, you know, definitely not straddling the fence, but what side should you be on here? And so I'm going to give you guys just a little bit of information about the origin of the holiday. Now, everybody knows, well, not everybody knows, another name for the day is All Saints Day. All Saints Day, let me back up, because the Roman Catholic Church, something you do need to know, when they went on their conquest to different lands, one of the things that they would do is, instead of canceling what the pagans were celebrating and instituting new, you can call them high holy days, or you can call them holy days, or if you combine them and call them holidays, instead of canceling their holidays and instituting, you know, new consecrated rituals, so to speak, or you can call it Christian rituals, or instead of doing away with that, what they did was they put stuff over top of it. So instead of doing totally away with something, they covered it up with a Christian holiday, and Halloween was one of those days. Halloween is a festival that goes back to our Celtics, and it goes back to our Druids. And it is connected to a holiday called Samhain. I think I want to make sure I pronounce that right. Samhain. It's spelled Samhain, S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but it's pronounced Samhain. And there you go. Samhain is how you pronounce that. And that was a day that was celebrated by the Druids. It was the Celtic New Year, according to some. And some say it was the beginning of their new year. And one of the things with it being the beginning of the new year, that was a day that they believed the veil between the land of the living and the land of the dead was the thinnest, and that spirits could come back over and cross the veil and come into this realm. So they would wear costumes, and they would wear different things to ward off evil spirits. And that was one of the reasons behind that. Now, this period was from October the 31st to the 2nd of November. And during this period, they said it was a time of no time. And they said they did a lot of things, and this is where we get some of our you know, crazy things. One of the things, the men dressed like women, the women dressed like men. They said some of the farmers' gates were unhinged and left in ditches, and people's horses were moved to different fields. The children would knock on the neighbors' doors for food and treats. And, you know, that's one of the origins that we still do today. So it has been kind of watered down, but this is some of the things we do today. Now, it also became known as All Saints Day or All Souls Day because it was All Hallows Eve. And so if you look at the origin of those words, it all combines. But at the gist of it, is it a pagan holiday? And if it is a pagan holiday, why are Christians celebrating it, and why do we even recognize it? Why do we celebrate it, and why do we even recognize it? And we want to just discuss this because there are some Christians who believe that they can just do anything they want to do and still call themselves saved. And I was talking with someone today, and they were saying, well, you know, it's all about your heart. It's not about what you do. Well, if that was the case, Jesus would have never said what he said: if you love me, obey me. So, Martina, what do you think on that? Because that's what we want to talk about, and give us some input, and we want to just talk about this and put this up for discussion. Because even on Facebook, and I posted some things on Facebook about this. Christians think that, you know, we feel we can just do anything we want to do, but as long as our hearts are right, that our actions don't matter. And so.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, your experience with the holiday a little bit more, and give us, you know, just talk to us a little bit on that, coming from someone else's perspective or another minister's perspective.
only because he is, not for the things that he's done, but because of who he is. That's why we worship him today, because he is God. We shouldn't be here today. Some of us should be dead and gone. Some of us should have AIDS. Some of us should be dying from disease. But God said, not so. He's done so much. When I can't think of what to say, I just want to say, God, I thank you, because he told Moses that when Pharaoh asked, who am I? He said, tell him, I am that I am sent you. Today we want to worship the I am in our lives today, simply because he is. It's a simple song, and it says, because of who you are, I give you glory. Hey, because of who you are, I give you praise.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, Jehovah. worship you, Lord. Lord, I bow down and worship you, Lord. Lord, not my will, but your will be done today. Lord, not our will, but Lord, come in and move in this place, God. Oh. Lord, I worship you. Come on, let's just take a few seconds just to lift our hands in the presence of the Lord. Because the Bible says he inhabits the praise of Israel. Woo! You're so worthy, Jesus. You are so wonderful. You are so wonderful. If it had not been the Lord on our side, where would we be? When our enemies came against us, oh God, the Spirit of the Lord, oh God, I thank you for lifting a standard against us. Oh God, I bless you right now, God. Oh God, I don't deserve you, God, but I thank you, God.
If you are tuned in, you are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Ward. And on tonight, we are talking a little bit about Halloween, of course, the prophetic. But I wanted to play a couple of songs for you there. That was Because of Who You Are by BTCD, and that was some raw worship. Every now and then, you know, it's good to listen to it. Give us a call at 619-393-6483. Again, 619-393-6483. You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast, and I'm your host, Calvin Ward. That was Because of Who You Are. Now, if you were listening to that, I used to attend that church, and we used to just get in worship, and that was one song, and that song was like 15 minutes, and so we used to worship at that place, and that was Minister C.C. Black back there on the keyboard, but it was just an anointed song, anointed version. It was raw music. You know, it was just raw. You know, it wasn't all perfect or recorded, but it was worship. So I wanted to play that and give that to you guys on tonight. Now, let's just get into a little bit. Now, I just want to put a disclaimer out there again for people that are listening. I just want to put another disclaimer out there for you. This is not your everyday show. This is not your everyday show. So I really need you to work with me. What I do want to mention is I want to connect back with, and I'm not going to be before you long, but I'm going to connect back with the message that we did a couple of shows back talking about tongues. That was a controversial message. A lot of people really couldn't get with that whole concept that Paul was very clear on our usage of tongues. And basically the premises teaching that I started from teaching that message was basically the fact that love is superior than tongues and prophecy is superior to tongues. The only way tongues is placed on the same level as prophecy is if there's an interpretation, then tongues is equivalent to prophecy. But in order, you would have love and prophecy before tongues any day. We know when it's talking about the ascension gifts, first of all, the apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly, there are teachers, as it mentions that to us in the book of Romans. Now, and we know that that's the order. First come prophets, apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. So when talking about tongues, it does us well to understand that, you know, a lot of us in the church, and they stop at tongues. Some people stop at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some people stop at receiving the Holy Ghost. Because first of all, we need to discuss what happens when a believer receives the Holy Spirit. When you become saved and you declare that you believe Jesus and you ask him to come into your heart, there is a process called regeneration that takes place where the Holy Spirit comes inside your spirit and he regenerates your spirit. This is what the church calls, or this is what is called the born again experience. Now, after that, many of us have seen the picture, you know, we've seen the picture of footsteps in the sand. So once you get saved, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, which is called the paraclete, the one who walks alongside, he comes to help you. He will pick you up. If you've seen that picture of footsteps in the sand, I compare it because he'll pick you up and he'll walk. He will walk with you. He'll walk alongside you. The one who walks with you, he'll walk alongside. He will help you. And so he will walk alongside you for a season. He will help to reveal things. That's where we get your two words. You have revelation, but you have illumination. And that's the other I word. It leaves me. You have illumination and revelation. Now, illumination is to shed light upon. That means there's something that you did not know, that now the light of the Holy Spirit is allowing you to see it. And revelation comes by way of the Spirit. It's almost like an instantaneous moment. Oh, I get it. You know, you tell people some things are not taught. They can only be caught. So some things you can only just get. What does that mean? You know, flesh and blood. Who do men say that I am? Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Who do men say that I am? Thou art, you know, the Son of God. Flesh and blood, and I'm paraphrasing here, but understand what I'm saying. Flesh and blood did not give Peter that revelation. He said, flesh and blood didn't give this to you. My Father gave you this revelation. So some things come like that. Some things can't be taught. They must be caught. And then we have illumination where God is shedding the light of the Holy Spirit on us and on his word to give us insight into what his word is saying. So it's the same way. When we're dealing with the gifts and we're dealing with the order, we have to get an understanding. Like I said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. We have to go back and understand. Use that same revelation. Use that same illumination going back, especially talking about the tongues and understanding that, look, tongues with interpretation is an equivalent to prophecy, but prophecy is superior to tongues in that prophecy is always something that's intelligible, something that can be understood. Now, how am I connecting that to tonight? I want to talk to you a little bit about scalar waves. Now, I used to be an electrician, and so what the Lord began to do was just to reveal some things to me using electronics, using waves, using basic communication electronics theory, should I say. So I want to talk to you about a scalar wave. If you decide to look this up, it's S-C-A-L-A-R, and it is a wave. Now, I'm going to start here, and in physics, it says that a scalar wave, it's a simple physical quantity that is not changed by coordinate system rotations or translations. This is something that does not operate in time, if I could say it like that. This is the scalar waves are waves that can transmit energy, information, and they can go through physical objects. They can go from point A to point B, but they do not use time. So scalar waves, they move through the dimension of time, but not through the dimension of space. And let me rephrase that. So everything I said, I want you to flip that. They do not move through space, but they move through time. They use time to get from one point to the other, but they do not use space. Now, there's a reason I want to talk about scalar waves, because it's a higher source of energy. But the reason why scalar waves are so important, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that on tonight, because scalar waves, when you talk about thoughts and you talk about your thinking, you're talking about, you know, everything that goes on in the world. Everything has a vibration. Everything has a signature. Some would say, what is Jesus but the sound of God? When God created the earth, he created the world. He decreed and declared. He said, let there be, and there was. Now, scalar waveforms, they are non-local potential energy. Non-local potential energy. This is energy that is everywhere. So this is energy and power that's everywhere, and it's not confined to one place. And it carries information, and it has what is called a fractal structure. That's F-R-A-C-T-A-L, a fractal structure. Now, I'm not going to get too into this, but a scalar wave, it moves through time. It does not move through space. So what does that mean? That means when you're transmitting a signal through space, that signal can degrade. But if you're using a scalar wave to transmit a signal or a power or energy, they do not decay over time or over distance. Why? Because there's a potential everywhere around you. It's everywhere around you. It's not located in one place. What am I getting to? Scalar waves, this has been a technology that other countries, you know, people have researched this form of technology, and there was a scientist called Nikola Tesla who actually tapped this form of technology. He tapped this energy form. Nikola Tesla gave us a lot of our present day technology. And I know people are saying, well, where is this coming into spirituality? Where is this coming into being? Well, what I want to tell you is scientists have studied these scalar waves. And they have found something out. Now, in studying scalar waves, you have to say something. I have to say something about your DNA, and I'm going to read this to you. They say scientists have found more about our DNA, that our DNA is a quantum antenna, and it is able to send and receive data. Now, this is what they're talking about our DNA. They're telling us that our DNA is a quantum antenna. Now, when you're talking about quantum, you're talking about the submolecular level. You're talking about getting into a realm of what we would call the spiritual or the metaphysical. So it's a quantum antenna, and it's able to send and receive data. Now, this is your DNA. As they continue to research this, they said DNA has an access to a vast pool of information that is outside our three-dimensional dimension, which we know. When we operate in the spirit realm, we are getting access to a realm that exists, and it doesn't exist. It exists, but it's not able to be seen from this realm, but we have access to it. So we understand that. Now, here's where we're getting into it. Our DNA creates scalar waves, and it receives them if it is in tune with the frequency. Now, check this out. The scalar wave, our DNA uses these scalar waves to transmit energy, to receive this energy, and it uses it to store information. It's how our brain stores information. It's how we do, it's how our body works. Now, check this out. Your brain is really not, your brain is an interface. Your brain will be used more so as an interface than it is what, you know, the average person thinks. Now watch this. Because we were talking about tongues. I want to talk about scalar waves because I'm talking about the method by which our body, our brain, our DNA receives information. It is just so high tech. I don't want you to go and research that yourself. I'm not going to get deep into that. But one thing I do want to mention is that even scientists have said that our brain is an interface connecting us to a higher dimension or connecting us to another level. That the electromagnetic field created by our brain makes all of the cells in our body resonate. And each DNA structure reinforces this field. Scalar waves, these waves are at the basis of these fields. And remember, these waves are just supernatural. Now watch this. Now, they've also found out that water is affected by scalar waves, and water resonates with scalar waves when microclusters are formed. Let's call that information. So if water resonates with scalar waves, we know that 70% of the planet is covered by water, and your body is also made up of water. And scientists have also said about humanity, we have a collective consciousness and a collective memory. And one of the points that I want to make, and then I'm going to stop talking about scalar waves, is that every human being is connected to each other. This is true. Every human being is connected to each other. So our thoughts and our emotions affect our environment and those that are around us. And if many humans, and this is where I'm going to kind of stop here, it says if many humans are coherent in their mind like a laser, then even the weather can be altered. Now listen to this. If many humans are coherent in their mind like a laser, then even the weather can be altered. And this is where I want to go, because when I read that, especially talking about scalar waves, and I want you to look up Nikola Tesla because it gets a little bit better, but connecting this to scripture, I said, God, that's Bible. I said, so I was connecting that with the message about tongues that he had dropped down, because If science already knows, look, if many humans are coherent in their mind like a laser, then even the weather can be altered. Well, what does the Bible say concerning that? If you go to your Bible in Acts, in the book of Acts, when they received the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that there was something that happened there. And Acts chapter 2 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all with one accord with one place. If many humans are coherent in their mind like a laser, then even the weather can be altered. Look, they were all in the upper room on one mind, of one mind. They were of one accord in one place. How does this connect with tongues? Because in order, that was one of the most powerful moves of the Spirit that happened in the book of Acts. And they did not need to pray in tongues to get to the point where the Lord would respond to them. What am I saying? I'm saying a lot of times in the body of Christ, we cannot see the Spirit of God move because this tongue thing, everybody comes to church with a get mine. And can you imagine when you have hundreds of people in the same place, everybody's minds, everybody is lifted up, hands are lifted up, everybody's focused on what they want God to do for them, their children, their marriage, their kids. They need, you know, a sister, their brother, a healing, a deliverance. But how many people just come in to focus on Jesus? And I remember back and thinking back, you know, when we used to come in, we used to be taught, you know, when you come into the house of God, clear your mind. It's not about getting what you need to get from God. But we all came in and say, look, if you got a wig on, take that wig off. If you got some weave, take it on off. If it's going to get in the way of you, praising God. You got them nails, pluck them nails off. Brothers got them coats on, take your suit off, unloosen that tie, get comfortable, and take them shoes off. Look, let's focus on the Lord. And I was just thinking how much we're missing it, because this is a scientific concept, but guess what? It was already in the scripture long, long ago. And if we can get on the same accord, be together on one accord, but get together in the same train of thought, then that's when the message on tongues, I said, God, now I see why you brought tongues up, because tongues is a hindrance. Because something that we should be doing behind the scenes, unless in the church with interpretation, something we should be doing in our own prayer closets. We want to get in front of people, and we've just been trained to be so undisciplined concerning the things of the Spirit and the things of God, not knowing the detriment. And so the detriment we see to praying in tongues in public and doing whatever we want to do and undisciplined in our spirit is the power of God. Why? Because when I come into a church, we're supposed to be linking our faith up with one another. It's almost like Captain Planet. If you ever watched the cartoon Captain Planet, there was five individuals, and one was, had the power of wind, one had water, one had heart, one had fire, one was earth. And what happened was when they needed Captain Planet, who was a superhero, earth, water, wind, heart, fire. And it was like, go planet. Y'all remember, don't act brand new. Y'all remember the cartoon. And then they would all come together and they would create this Captain Planet, and he would come and save the day. Well, it's almost the same thing with the fivefold ministry or the ascension gifts, because the pastor and the teachers better referred to as the same gift. But the fourfold, whether you call it the fourfold ministry or whether you refer to them as the ascension gifts, you know, they all combine their talents and gifts to come together so that they could help the body of Christ. When we all come together in the church, it shouldn't be, you know, we just want to get up. We just want to sing our song. We just want to preach, hear the word, sing our little A-B songs, praise team, get up and sing. God puts his big toe into the room. We all get happy, and then we step back out. We didn't come to church to see you. And that's the problem. I came to church to see you, but I didn't come to church to see you. I came to church to see the Lord. And if the church would stop being selfish and get on one accord, then the people that have come to church, the visitors, the people that need deliverance, they can receive their deliverance. But we have to get on one accord. How do we do that? You know, one of the ways you do that is you pray before you come to church. A lot of the times the power of God will manifest as ministers and elders, and just as saints, you get prayed up before you come to church. And even when you come to church, before you go in any ministry, you should be praying with that ministry, with those individuals together in one accord. I remember our praise and worship team, and we had people who, for the praise and worship team, I remember we had people who would come in, and if you came in, you had to go upstairs, you had to pray for about 30 minutes with the praise and worship team, with everybody in one accord, so we all be on the same spirit when we came down as a Levitical priesthood to minister. And if you came late, you just did not minister. Why? Because we were teaching them, you are not necessary for the glory of the Lord. You are not necessary for the presence of God. It's not about you. We don't need you to get the presence in here. We don't need, you're not that crucial. You are not that important. But today we do the reverse. We need an organ. We need the minister of music. We need somebody to sing. No, we don't need an organ. You can have a seat. You came in late. Your spirit is off. Your attitude is jacked up. And you're not even living right. You can go have a seat. We don't need choir members. We can have just two or three people. Rather, or would to God that we had two or three people who are consecrated and on one accord ministering to the saints of God, than to have a whole symphony connected with the choir and there is no anointing and have people off. And so when our minds are focused on the things of God, then you really don't care, because then I really don't care. Sister, you were jacked up. What is going on? I don't know what that was, but praise the Lord. You'll begin to confront things in the house of God. And I know we don't want to talk about that, confronting issues, confronting people in the house of God. You have an issue with a brother or sister, pull someone with you and say, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? Have a witness there. Talk to them with somebody there. You know, if they don't receive it, they have an ought with you. You have an ought with your brother biblically. You take it to them. If there is an issue there, then you can take it to the elders. You take it to the church leadership. And then you can bring it before the church. But we really must follow biblically how God told us to administrate the church, or to administer the grace of God or the word of God in the church. And that's one of the reasons we don't see churches being built up like they are. What people do today, I want to go to seminary, I want to get my degree. God, I want to be in ministry, I want to get a big church, and I want people to tithe to me so I can grow this big church. And then what? I mean, you know, I don't want to preach for years, and God bless. You know, I'm only 31 years old, and I've seen the miracles of God by my hand. I've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost. I've seen miracles and healings happen, and God has used me mightily, and I operate in the gift of prophecy and have a legacy on my life. But I know people that have been in ministry for 20 years. You know, to God, I don't want to be in here 20, 30 years and not see God raise the dead, not see these miracles. Y'all can have it. I can go overseas somewhere and preach and pray with some people that want God. They don't want church. They don't want church. They want God. They don't want church. The church is the ecclesia. And what we've deemed the church today culturally is the whole atmosphere of music, choir, preaching, the art of preaching, and all of that combined together in an atmosphere. And God is raising up people who say, you know what, you can have all of that. I need the Spirit of the Lord. I want God. You know, the church is not ready for a whole lot of things. We're not even ready for the truth about tithing. So how can we really be ready to enter into what God really wants us to do? We're not even ready to hear the truth about tongues. It's right there in the Bible. But we want to go forth in our old ways, and we cannot go forth in old ways. When God reveals something to us, for us to continue in our old ways, once it's been revealed to us, is to smack God in the face as if he did not speak, as if you don't care what God said. You agree with it, but you know, I let's use the tongue message. There was a lot of people that listened to that tongue message. I think we had 600 and some people listen to the message on tongues. But the abundance of people that listened and it was based scripturally are going to go back and still ta-ta-ta, woo-woo-woo, whenever they feel like it, and still do what they want to do, not understanding the ramifications that once something has been revealed to you, there is a responsibility now on your life to walk that revelation out. And for you not to walk that revelation out is to act like God has not even spoken. And that's what the church is doing at large. This is a time and a season where Satan is trying to weary, to wear down the saints. Excuse me. He's trying to wear down the saints. He's trying to tear the saints down. He's trying to question people's calling. He's trying to question what they're supposed to be doing in ministry. He's trying to make it seem as if God is not speaking and God is not talking. But we need to be taught, what do you do when God is not speaking? What do you do in those times that God is not speaking and you can't hear the voice of the Lord like you used to hear the voice of the Lord? You hold on to the faith. You read the word. You don't hang your harp on willow trees. You stay in your word. You just keep the faith, and you decree and declare, and you war a good fight. And you remember the prophecies that were given to you. And those are the times that you wage war when your prophecies. You wage war when your prophecies when the Lord goes silent. You wage war with your prophecies when the Lord goes silent. And this is why right now, more than ever, the prophetic voices are needed, because the enemy is trying to silence the prophetic voices. As the temperature goes up in the world, and as Satan starts to use more people in the world politically, he starts to cause more upheaval socially, and then the negative energy, of course, sin has its effect on the earth. This is why the Bible says that the earth is groaning and moaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because God gave mankind Jesus. Jesus redeemed mankind. And now we go out into the earth wherever, what did he tell Joshua? Wherever the soles of your feet shall touch, I've given you the land. But now in the New Testament, we are ambassadors for Christ. So wherever we go, we redeem the land. So we are supposed to redeem the land. We bring redemption to the earth. That's why we're still here. That's why we're supposed to preach the gospel into all the earth. And the earth, as more upheaval happens in the earth realm, and Satan finds avenues and pockets and doors and places to go where he can get into people's lives, the enemy is going to continue to aim and point at the prophetic. He's going to continue to aim and to point at the prophetic and to point at the prophetic and make it seem like what you've been doing has not been working. What you've been saying has not been working. Do you really have the word of the Lord in your mouth? You know, are you really called? You're not called to be a prophet. He will really begin to attack that prophetic gift. But this is a time like never before that we need that prophetic gift, because the Bible tells us in Ephesians that the apostle and the prophet, they are the foundation of the church. And if they are the foundation of the church cannot be, a building cannot stand unless it has a sure foundation. And Christ Jesus is the chief cornerstone, which is the first one that was laid. We know the chief cornerstone is the first stone that's placed there, that all the other stones, of course, hello, foundation, apostle, and the prophets, are built off of. And then the church is being built up a holy habitation, according to the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to go there. We're going to take a little break and come back. I'm going to kind of close this up. But just a little teach on tonight. I'm going to kind of, I want to go here, go to the book of Ephesians, I want to go to the book of Ephesians, okay. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I was right. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians. Yes, chapter 2. I was right. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 19 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God." And then it goes on to say, verse 20 in chapter 2, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Verse 21, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple unto the Lord." So apostles and prophets, we're the foundation. We're also laborers. We're the ones that are trying to get the body ready to be fit for the building. The church is being built up a spiritual habitation to the Lord, but you got to let the apostle and prophet pick you up and chisel you off and get you ready so you can be used in the building of the temple. And there's more to the prophetic than just, "I see you, this is what the Lord showed me, you know, ta, 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 there it is, you got it." It's more to this thing than, "I got the Holy Ghost, I got power, I got it, oh, I got it." It's more to this than just teaching every Sunday, getting on the pulpit, ministering, praise and worship, singing, and then leaving the same way you came. It's more to it than that. There's calls to go into the earth realm. There's calls to go out here and preach and build the kingdom. There's calls to go out here and raise up institutions and raise up organizations by faith, by faith. Because when you go to that book, it says this is the level. By faith were these things done. By faith is the realm where you begin to build into the earth realm and begin to do things. Material objects come from thought forms. So we have to say what we're thinking. What we're thinking comes from the mind of God when we are aligned, when our spirit is lined up with the word of God. So when we put the word of God in our spirit, then what we think and what we see lines up with what we say, then it starts to manifest. And so there's more to this thing than meets the eye. It's more to it than going to a church for 10 years and tithing, and then where are you at? I know people that went to church for 20, 30 years and that have tithed, and some of them are still in the same place. Well, I thought you said that you believed that if you gave, that God would bless you here, there, and the other. Where is it at? You know, the Bible says seed time, and as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. And, I might offend somebody that just loves to tithe, but praise the Lord. But the Bible says that seed time and harvest, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. Okay, well, what does that mean? And God says that's what our problem is. As long as the earth remains, that's the earth realm. That's the natural realm. We are supposed to be supernatural beings or superdimensional beings. We are above the natural. So in the natural realm, as long as this physical earth remains, if you plant an apple tree, you're going to get apples from an apple tree. You plant an orange seed, you're going to get an orange tree. It's just what it is. Well, we try to apply that to money. So people have been tithing all the time, and where is it coming back? There's a problem with that. What is the problem? The problem is when you can't just give, you can't just give money and sit on your behind. So let's compare it. People that don't have money, that use their mind and put their hand to the plow and go out and work and become prosperous. How are we comparing them with people that tithe? You got people that have been tithing 10 or 15 years still in the same place. What are we talking about here? It takes faith to go out and to begin to do. It takes faith to step out with nothing, to step out on nothing, and to create something, and to believe God to do it. It takes more faith to do that than it takes the person who's been in a part of somebody's ministry for 10 years, and because you tithe faithfully, they elevate you to a position, elder or whatever, and now you're in a position, and now you're blessed, and, we're just giving the testimony. There is more to the blessing of God than tithing. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There is more than just, we're supposed to be giving our time. We're supposed to be sacrificing our life, pouring out our gifts and our talents. And we have to find out what our gifts and our talents is. And going back to the book of Acts, a lot of this will stem from us coming to church and being on one accord. So the problem is with a lot of people, look, who do I find around me that's on the same page that I am? We need to get on one accord. You got to find people that are on the same accord that you're on, that'll get on the same page you're on, so that you can put your minds together, put your gifts, your talents together, and say, God, what are you saying to do? And even with that, there must be a dying to flesh. There's a doctrine of denial that a lot of people don't teach anymore. You must deny yourself. If you're going to follow Jesus, you must deny yourself. What does that mean? That means I sat down my singing career about 10 years ago when I could have went into the music industry. I sat down my music writing career when I could have written music and I could have been singing and I could have been dancing. That means I sat that down so I could pick up Christ. That means I sat down a lot of stuff that I wanted to do, right along with clubbing and being out there in the street. You sit those things down. Why? So that I can pick up Jesus and pick up Christ. And so what the church is telling us today is, you just got saved. You used to go to the club, you used to run the streets, you just got saved a week ago, and now we're trying to take everything you used to do and convert it over to something you could do into the church. Wrong answer. What that creates is a jacked up theology. What that creates in that individual is a psychosis, because they don't know what's right, they don't know what's wrong. It creates an area of frustration in their mind. We need to begin to tell people, now that you're saved, you need to get line upon line, precept upon precept. You need to get into your word and study it. You need to go get a Strong's Concordance. You need to go get you a lexicon. You need to go get you a Bible commentary. Hello, Matthew Henry. You need to get you a Bible handbook. You need to get you a Bible dictionary, a book of Bible charts and maps. And you need to sit your behind down and begin to learn about this God that you just received into your life before you go to do anything else. But before people can learn about Jesus adequately, they are up and gone, and they are somewhere else. They are up, they're gone, and, you know, because you can sing. This is what we do with people, because you can sing. You just got saved, but because you can sing, we want you to get on the praise team. No, we don't. Because I want to watch over your soul, and I don't want to have you fall before your time, and I don't want to have you fall, period. We're going to have you come over here. You need to go through an in processing. You know, even the world has in the natural understands that when you hire a new employee, there needs to be an in processing process for them before you just put them into a leadership position. And I remember for me, you had to go through a class for about a month, and you had to get processed, get your study materials, know how to divide the word, know how to break it down, know how to teach Sunday school, know how to teach the word, understand doctrines of the word, that you just can't pick one scripture and go off on a tangent. Because when you talk about the word, when you talk about heresy, and we were talking about this in the book of Colossians, because I was talking about the Sabbath. When we talk about heresy, the root word for heresy, teremoiai, it means to pick out for oneself. So what does that mean? It means, let's think about that. It means to pick out. It means to pick out for one's self. We're going to talk about that because that's deep. You are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Ward, and you have just tuned in tonight. We are going back into the book of Acts. We're doing a recap, talking about being on one accord and accessing the power of God, and also talking a little bit about the prophetic. And we have a snippet about Halloween that we've mentioned. And if you missed the Because of Who You Are snippet, you missed a treat. I want you to stay tuned. The number is 619-393-6483, 619-393-6483. We're going to get into this, but I do want to play this track. I'm going to play this track. I'm not going to play all of this one. This is another track from them. This is a little, again, let's say this is raw worship. I'm going to play that same track again. I'm going to play Because of Who You Are. I'm only going to play a small portion of it, because then we're going to get right back into it, and then we're going to end the show. But I want you to think about being in one accord, you know, and when you come into church, not having your mind focused on what you want God to do for you, but what can God do for somebody that's sitting beside you? And if everybody can link their minds together and focus on Jesus and his power and Father, visit us, what could happen in our churches, and what could God do? And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about heresy and what that word means, to pick out for oneself. Because to pick out for oneself, that's deep. Let's just go there. That's a little deep, because heresy, the root word of heresy is to pick out for oneself. What does that mean? That means when we read a scripture, you know, I know we know people that just read one scripture and say, this is what God has said, do, and that's that. But the Bible is something called systematic theology. That's a systematic study of the word, and that the word is connected together. So the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, as some would say, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, as some would say. But when you look at it, you gotta be able to break it down. That is deep. When you have somebody that grabs one scripture and they say, this is what God said, dude, like the Hebrew Israelites still teach that we need to worship on the Sabbath. You have the 7-day Adventists, and you have some other people to say, oh, the Sabbath is the seventh day, and the Sabbath is where we're supposed to be worshiping, is the day we're supposed to be worshiping on. Okay. And they say, well, this is what God's law say. They quote the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue. and they say this is in there, and they say, oh, it supersedes the law because God said when he made it in Genesis, you know, when he made the earth on the seventh day, he rested. Well, this is an example of what I'm talking about, to pick out for oneself, because though they will back that up with scriptures and though they will teach it like it's good, it's still picking out for oneself. Why? Because they did not use the whole of the Bible to back up what they were saying. What do I mean by that? When you take the letter of the, this is what Paul was talking about, taking the letter of the law and beating people over the head with it and turning it into a double-edged sword to cut people and kill people, because the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. And so that's where you need your natural revelation, special revelation, that general revelation. You need the Spirit of God to come in and help you to understand the Bible in totality. So when you put many scriptures together, like for that brother, just for an example here, you know, if you go to the book of Colossians chapter 2, and it clearly says here in verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In verse 16, the apostle says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Don't let nobody tell you that you got to worship on this day. You got to drink this, eat that, do this, do that. Why? Because we know in the New Testament, look, every day is supposed to be a day of worship. But people go back and do their research. It's the Sunday. It was the day they worshiped the sun. Okay, all that might be true. And yes, the Pope did change the law and all these other countries tried to acquiesce. But the Bible lets us know what? If we get into the scripture and the spirit of the scripture, we would have found out that this is what the Bible is saying. So that's just a little example. Another example of that to pick out for oneself, heretical. Every time you preach, you're always preaching on prosperity. You've picked something out of the scriptures that you want to rely on, and that's what you promote and promulgate. That's heresy. You're a heretic. That's a heretic. Now, that's a heretic. You've just picked out for yourself what you want to do because it does not fall within the confines of the systematic understanding of the Bible. Why? Because this is the gospel. Jesus Christ, him crucified, him raised from the dead, him coming back to judge those that are alive and those that are dead. If we really want to build the kingdom, building the kingdom is getting more people into it. You have to save people. You got to evangelize people, bring them into the kingdom. Once they're in, we can teach them how to train, develop, and harvest people. Teach them how to train people up, how to develop them up, and then they can go out and then they can harvest people. And we can't do any of this if we don't understand, and you really can't do any of that if you don't understand the prophetic nature of God, and if you don't understand that being together on one accord is going to take some work. It means that I might have to cut some things. I can't do everything I want to do. I might not be able to do this ministry. I might not be able to do that ministry. I might want to go over here to the choir, but guess what? They might need me over here in the hospitality ministry with your great self. I might want to go over here and be on Pastor's Armor Bearer team, but guess what? They need people to help clean the church up. So I'm going to go over here and do this because they have enough people over there doing that. But this ministry is lacking. See, we don't, you know, when you get in ministry and it's for the Lord, it's not trying to find a ministry that'll platform you. You know, I know some people, they say they want to preach, okay, but you ask them to go out with you to minister in the streets, they don't go. You want them to come down here to the homeless shelter, help us cook and give food and minister and teach and preach. They don't want to go. Well, what are they really saying? I want to be behind the pulpit. They don't really want to preach. They really want to be behind the pulpit. That's like a lot of people in the choir. They just want to be seen. Do you really want to give God the glory? You just want to wear your little cute outfits, wear your designer clothes, and stand out, look cute. And then that's why you have a lot of people. We're going to put all y'all in the choir robe. Ain't nobody transmitting. Nobody's transmitting their own personality. Nobody's transmitting their own style, transmitting this, that, and the third. We don't have to worry about all that. Put everybody in a robe. We don't have to worry about nobody dressing, authentically and all this other stuff. No, just get up there and do what you do. There was a reason for a lot of these things that people don't understand. Being on one accord takes work. It means if I join an organization, I might have to do something that I don't want to do. Somebody has to take the lesser seat. And this falls back in the doctrine of denial. So we talk about crucifying our flesh. We talk about denying ourselves so that we can gain Christ. But it's something else when you actually have to walk these things out. Because then you actually have to take the lower seat. You actually have to be talked about. You actually have to do the work that no one else wants to do. But guess what? Taking the lower seat, if it means unity, if it means being in one accord or doing something else, if it means being in one accord, if it means seeing the glory of God, then so be it. We're going to take a break here. I'm going to play this clip for you. This is a different song, but I'm going to play this one. This is Elder Jeremiah Jones. We're going to play this song, and then we're going to be back, and we're going to close out for the night.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So many times in our lives, we've done things that God has not been proud of. We've let him down so many times. But time and time again, God is so merciful. He's so just. He's so forgiving. And all he's asking is for holiness. How many of you know holiness is right? How many of you know that holiness is right? Hallelujah. Holiness is right. All he wants is us to be righteous and to be broken. The Bible says that a broken spirit and a contrite heart he would nowise cast aside. All he wants is for us to lay at his feet and say, Lord, I don't know and I need you in my life. How many of you need the Lord today? I don't know about you, but I need him every day of my life. And when I look back over my life and all the things that he's done for me, I don't deserve him. But time and time again, my God has come through for me. If God has come through for you, come on and put your hands together in here today. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
And this is a simple song. The song says, holiness. Holiness. That's what I long for. It says, holiness. Holiness. That's what I need. Hallelujah. And it says, holiness. Holiness. That's what you want for me. And because of that, I bless the Lord in this place today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's a simple song. It says, holiness. Holiness. It's what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Holiness, holiness is what you want for me. I've got to be holy. I've got to be right. I've got to be made whole. I've got to be broken. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. For me. For me. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's what you want for me.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and bless him in here today. Come on and bless him in here today. Come on and bless the Lord in here today. Come on and bless the Lord in here today. Come on and bless the Lord in here today. He's worthy. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord today, not for all the things that he's done. He's done so many wonderful things.
Well, I want to welcome you to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Ford. I hope you enjoyed that song by Elder Jeremiah Jones. And the next song after that was Because of Who You Are was the next song he was about to get into. It was one service. So we want you to be blessed on tonight. We're talking about being on one accord, talking about the prophetic, and we mentioned a little bit about Halloween. But we're just getting into the word. Hope you're enjoying yourself. Call 619-393-6483 if you have any questions or comments. 619-393-6483. You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. We're going to get into this. I just want to finish this up. I don't want to be here too long here because it's just what it is. But I recapped a little bit, and I just wanted to connect with that. I know I talked a little bit about these scalar waves, but I know with science and technology coincides with God. They come together. There's really no difference, if you were to ask me. The only difference would be our level of knowledge to try to get empirical evidence to back up what God has already said. So that's my opinion on that. But with scalar waves, I want to talk about scalar waves because this is supposed to be a energy form that is able to transmit energy. It's able to store energy. And it's the method of energy that they say our DNA uses to store energy, which is the same method that our brain uses to store energy. So having said that, they were saying, look, if we could all as one, as humankind, if we could put our minds together, anything that we focus on that we could do, we could change the weather if we wanted to. That being said, I wanted to connect that with the book of Acts. He said, coming together on one accord. God already revealed this to us, to come together on one accord. But the problem is you have to work at being on one accord, or let me put it like this, you have to humble yourselves. You have to humble yourselves. You have to deny yourself, and you actually have to sacrifice some things out of your life in order for a place of being, I was about to say one accordness, but in order to be in a state where everybody's with the same mind. Today, everybody's transmitting when you go to church. Everybody's transmitting. They're transmitting with their hairstyles. They're transmitting with their outfits. They're transmitting with how they talk. They're transmitting with their titles. And when I say transmitting, I mean they're always pushing something. Oh, hello, this is who I am. I'm up here. You're down there. This is who I am. I do this. You do that. Can we just get people to say, you know what? Let's just bless the Lord. Let's just bless Jesus. And a lot of people are scared. Talked about this being a time in the season when the prophetic is being really attacked. So a lot of the times God is giving prophets and prophetic people, he's giving them ideas, he's giving them things to do that really nobody else has or they have not seen or it was already done, and he's just giving you a different twist to it. Or God is saying, look, I want you to do some things and I want you to go out here and do it. And it's not going to be easy. And I tell people, I said, look, it took me about a year and a half to start a 501c3 and I'm still in some of the final stages. I have an LLC that I'm still working out. It's one of the hardest things to do is to get a board that's together on one accord so you can go forth and do some things. But there are a lot of things, if you look across the board, you see a lot of people say they believe the Lord or they want to move by faith, but they really don't believe the Lord and they because they just want to get up and do stuff. People start churches without doing all their paperwork first. Well, how can you believe the Lord to bless something? How can you believe the Lord to bless something was jacked up from the get. Your paperwork's not together. Your organization, where is your charter? Where is, who's your covering? Where are you coming from? I mean, what's going on here? So a lot of people want to just jump headfirst into something instead of trying to do it the right way from the ground up and then ask God to bless it, because God is a God of integrity. And so a lot of times he gives us ideas. He gives us different ways and different methods of doing different things. And prophetically, everybody is not going to be, I just made a left here. But for prophets and people that are called to be prophets in this day, look, you're not going to be liked. I don't know where we get this from. Look, you're not going to be liked. The word that you have to say is not going to be liked. People are not always going to be on your side. Friends will stab you in your back. You're not going to have that many friends. You're going to have to set your face like a flint to complete and do what God has told you to do, and believe God to materialize resources out of thin air, because you're not going to be able to depend on people. People are fickle. They'll be with you today, and then tomorrow you get on their nerves, or you say something they don't like, and then they're not going to invite you back to preach. Look, you got to have in your mind, you're not trying to preach. You're not trying to get engagements. You're just trying to do the will of the Lord. And you affect the people one by one that surround you in your atmosphere, and so you never know. See, too many people think it's in numbers. They say nickels, noses, and numbers. We're not worried about nickels, noses, and numbers. Too many people worried about that. If you affect the people that God is sending you to, that one person you affect might end up going somewhere and starting a ministry that affects thousands. You just do what God is telling you to do and stay in your lane and make sure you are hearing the word of the Lord and doing what you're supposed to be doing. And a lot of people that are in the church, we get caught up because we want to feel like we belong. We want to be a part of something. Sometimes you get so tired of getting beat down, you get so tired of being talked about, so tired of being persecuted, that you say, you know what, whatever, I'm just going to be a part of, you know, I just want to be a part of in this season. I'm just tired of fighting, or tired of the struggle. But it's what it is. And a lot of people acquiesce to the enemy trying to wear down the saints, and they acquiesce and say, you know what, I'm going to be a part of instead of being a trailblazer. But have you done know that God, when he moved in the Bible, God moved on the peoples of the nation of the earth. He used one of the smallest nations on the face of the planet to move, which means God used that which was smallest so that he could get his glory out of. Because if he used a big country to get glory out of, they would have said that they did it by their own power. God uses small things to get big results out of and to get the glory out of. This is why the Bible says, despise not the days of small beginnings. So we have a lot of people. People might hear this message. We have a lot of people that are in ministry and feel like, you know, it's not going the way it needs to go. This is not happening. It's not growing. Yeah, reevaluate what you're doing. Reevaluate what God told you to do. But you stick to the plan. You stick to what God told you to do. Too many pastors and ministries are relying on people with a tithe. If God would, God would give you a real revelation on giving, but you can't be focused on the tithe. Don't worry about the people bringing the money in. Your source is God, not the people. People bringing in a tithe, then your faith is not in God. Your faith is in people. But if you depend on and rely on God to bring in your finances, then you're not worried about people. You're not worried when you get 3 or 4 or only 5 people here or 10 people here or 20 people there or whatever, because you're focused on God. And so meet the needs of the people. The gospel is meeting the needs of the people. I heard one pastor say that 87% of what Jesus did was meeting the needs of people. The other 13% was preaching the gospel. Meet the needs of people. A lot of us today, we teach this, but we got to live it. This is a time, especially as leaders and prophets and apostles, we have to walk some things on, especially as leaders, pastors too. You're going to be walking this out. It's one thing to talk about prosperity, but then it's one thing to have to walk through needing a time of need, have to walk through. Well, you can't go around, you can't go above it, you just got to walk through it. And so we see the churches and we see our pastors telling us, you know, to hold on, when the last time they had to hold on was probably about 20, 30 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. Why? Because the money that's coming into the church from your tithe is supplying their bills, their pay, and they don't lack. So it's one thing. But my question I pose to churches is this. How many churches that you know, because the Bible lets us know that some churches, when Paul was traveling, they gave, they didn't even have it to give, but they gave so that another church would have what they need. So my question is, how many churches here today are making sure that the people of their church have what they need to do what they need to do, so much so to the point where they almost missed the mortgage payment, where they almost didn't pay their electric bill, where they almost didn't pay their heating bill or their cooling bill? Our churches collectively as organisms and institutions, living out that which they are decreeing and declaring across the pulpit for the individuals to live out. There must be a meeting. And so there must be a meeting. There must be a compromise. There has to be a meeting and a compromise. There's no reasoning why all these churches with all these monies, why, you know, for churches who can bring artists in and pay them $10,000 or $20,000 just to come in and sing and use the gift that God gave to them, and they already got money. There's no reason why that same church can't take $10,000 and get somebody else out of debt. You can pay money and bring a pastor all the way from Africa or China and spend, you know, $10,000 or $15,000 bringing them over and pay them an honorarium, but you can't use $5,000 to help somebody start a business in your church. And before we do it, we want to send them through all this training, and we want to send them through all of this red tape. No, sit down, help them get a plan, make it happen. So this is what we're looking at here. When you talk about empowerment and getting on one accord, when you're talking about getting on one accord, you're talking about meeting the needs of the people. You're talking about getting your thoughts, and in order to meet the needs of other people, you can't be focused on you. So being focused on the needs of other people is being focused with your mind on God, because God wants to meet the needs of people. God cares about the poor, the people that do not have. So God begins to bless us when we start to meet the needs of other people and say, you know what, God, who around me can I help? Because if I help other people, we must believe that God is going to help us and that God is going to meet our needs. We must think on one accord. We must be on one accord, and our actions must line up in one accord. And it's the same thing when you talk about your body, the trichotomy that is us, soul, spirit, and body. We are the only ones that has a physical body which connects two dimensions or two realms in one. Our body connects our spirit to the natural in one, and our soul is the medium through which we can communicate through our spirit and manifest God and operate in his stead right here in the planet. We have the power to do a whole lot more than what we're doing. We must not let the church get us religious and get us stuck into the milk of the word. There is the milk, there is the bread, there is the meat of the word. And he says, I speak to you little children, I speak to you little brothers or young men, and I speak to you fathers. There are levels in the word. This is a season where God is talking about impartation. This is a season to make sure you get impartation. This is a season where you're going to need the impartation to get you to your next level. But it's crucial that we do those things that God is calling us to do. And if we can't get it, and we can't start it like the next person started, then you just get out there and do what the Lord told you to do. People say, God called me to minister. Well, then get on out there and start to evangelize. God called you to do this and do that. Get on out there and go do it. Go to the nursing homes. You know, on Thanksgiving or Christmas, use that day, especially if you're single, to go out there on Christmas to the homeless shelter and go out there and serve them. Go out there and sing a praise and worship song there. Go out there and show somebody love. When you're talking about being on one accord, you're talking about being in tune with the Spirit of God. And the Bible tells us God is love. And we talked about love superseding tongues, and tongues is really low on the totem pole. Talking about love superseding tongues. And so could it really be that we're not seeing the power of God because we really don't know how to love? Something so simple as love. You know, you deal with brothers. Brothers act like they can't hug each other in church. We act like, you know, you can't hang with people. You can't talk to that brother. That brother needs somebody to talk to, somebody to give them a call when they're going through. That's why depression among African-American males is high, because they just want to take everything on their chest, just men in general. But they just want to take everything on their chest, don't want to talk to nobody, can't talk to nobody, can't trust anybody. We are churching people to hell instead of loving them to life and to God. We are churching them to hell instead of loving them to life and loving them to God. And we have to switch up. We have to change up. And in order to change up, we have to just begin to let the word of God discipline us. And I keep driving that with tongues, because that's a spirit when someone can go to the Bible and teach the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept, and you hear it and you still can get up and go and walk another way. Or you still will to do it the way you've always done it, because why? And these are the excuses. It hasn't, and this is what we use in the church, it hasn't bothered anybody. There's no issues with me doing it. Look, I do it. It hasn't bothered anybody. There's nothing wrong with it. But yeah, there's something wrong with it. God said don't do it. God said do it this way. And in our minds, we want to do it another way. We picked out for ourselves what we want to do or what we think, especially when it's written clearly in the word, heretic. So a heretic can be somebody that preaches the Bible, but they pick out what they want to preach from the Bible when they decree and declare it, and they don't declare the whole Bible. And if you have your Bible, go to Psalms go to Proverbs chapter 11. Because, see, when you pick out for yourself, people say, ain't nothing wrong with that. I just chose to preach this today. I choose to preach that. When you decide that you want to pick out for yourself what you want to do or what you want to preach, because the gospel, you can preach every message with the whole of the gospel. And Proverbs 11 says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So false balance, another version says diverse measures. False balances is an abomination to the Lord. So when you pick out for yourself what you want to preach and teach, and you don't preach the whole of the word, that's a false balance. That is not equilibrium in the word, and therefore it becomes an abomination, and you are in the place of teaching false doctrine, because your people are being drawn to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes by. Why? Because you're not giving them the foundation of the word. And if you gave them the totality of the equilibrium of the whole word, they wouldn't be going to and fro, because they'd be standing on a sure foundation to pick out for oneself heresy. So the heretic is the one that picks out for themselves what they want to preach. So they can preach, it'll be Bible, it'll be teaching, but they're picking it out for themselves. So the key there is to have your discernment heightened. And the doctrine of discerning spirits, is it stems from the fact that anything that is taught or anything that is done is coming from three spirits, either the spirit of God, the spirit of Satan, or the spirit of man, or a human spirit. Okay, human spirit can be in the soulless realm, and it does not necessarily mean that it's demonic. It just means that in the soulless realm, that's not where you want to be, because there's more access. The demonic has more access to your soulless realm. And the soul is where we have a unification of the spirit and the body. So dealing with the human, dealing with the soulless realm of the human spirit, that's not where you want to be. And then you have the spirit of Satan and the spirit of God, which Satan is not where you want to be either. But Satan is satanic, God is godly. And the human spirit, you know, that you're talking about the soul, and you're talking about it can be pulled any direction. So there needs to be some clarity there. So your discernment needs to be up. Therefore, when you hear a message and it sounds good and they're coming out of the scripture and coming out of the Bible, your discernment needs to be up to say, God, look, okay, they're hearing it. They're just hearing the word. That's for them. There is a sinister agenda behind this word, because, see, God will create in you an ear to hear somebody, and they will preach a word out the Bible, but you'll hear something behind that and say, you know, there's something wrong with this. There's an agenda. Their spirit is off. This is coming from a different agenda. And you'll sit and hear people preach a message, and you'll pick up the subconscious message or undertones of it behind the scenes, and see, and it'll just you'll be like, okay, not this one, not you. It'll cut you off. We got to heighten our discernment. We have to ask God to heighten our discernment. And when you hear people say stuff, it'll sound like the scripture. No, heresy. Why? Because the spirit that is coming forth, it's the word of God. The word of God is going to work with or without them. All by itself, it has the power, because it's the power of God unto salvation. But you're going to hear it, and your ear is going to be able to hear this and be able to discern. So your discernment must be up to really hear the heretics and the heresies of our day, because they're taking the Bible and twisting it. The Unitarian heresy that's out there, the Hebrews, I just said it, the Ethiopian Hebrews, not the Ethiopian Hebrews, but your Hebrew Israelites doctrine, heresy. Your Mormonism, heresy. Jehovah's Witness, heresy. You got to begin to cut some of this stuff up and dissect it for what it is. And we're not even going to talk about Buddhism and Sikhism and, you know, Islam and the Nation of Islam and all these other, and the Satanic Church and Wicca and all this other foolishness that's out there, and begin to break this stuff down. You know, they just got witches, all this type of stuff. We need to have our ears open, because in order to be on one accord, especially prophetically, and that's what God is calling us as prophets and apostles, but he's calling us as prophets to look, help to get the church on one accord. But see, another part of being that prophet and helping to get them on one accord, you have to be able to, like I said, have your discernment heightened, but you have to be able to sound the alarm. Go to Ezekiel chapter 33. You have to be able to sound the alarm. Not only sound the alarm, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 13, you have to be able to discern the fake prophet from the real prophet, and then let people know that this is fake and this is real. And in order to do that, you have to have a track record yourself. See, people, when people see you and you've decreed and declared the word of the Lord, and they see you living it, and they can see the word of God worked in your life, and they have a track record, then all you need to do is decree and declare. And see, and time will tell, and people will talk about you too. They'll talk about you behind your back, but say something else to your face, and they will know that, look, a prophet was in our midst. It's not for you to try to make a prophecy come to pass. The office of the prophet is not just for decreeing and declaring, but it's for tearing down, uprooting, It's for building. It's for revealing wickedness. You decree judgment and you decree blessing. You decree the will of the Lord. It's for building the church. There's a whole lot more to come with it, but everybody wants to come with. They want to receive from us the good, but they don't want to take the chastisement. The Bible says, and he was the son that he loves, he chastises. So even in ministry, if you got people that call themselves your mentors, they can't chastise you and tell you when you're wrong and tell you when you jacked up, then you're really not a son to them. They really don't care anything about you. But you need to get leadership that's with you. If they're going to, and I don't like to use the word mentor because Jesus never told us to mentor anybody. He told us to go make disciples. I say that all the time. I've been saying that for years because mentor denotes duplication. If I'm mentoring somebody, then I want them to be just like me. You mentor someone for a season when they don't know who they are, but when they come into the realization of who they are, the mentorship changes into discipleship. And this mentorship is I'm raising you up in my image because you need an image to give you some stability. I'm raising you up like to be like me because you need my image or you need what I am to sustain you. But once you find out who you are and what you're called to be, then I, as the teacher, need to switch over to discipleship because in discipleship mode, I'm not trying to get you to be like me. In discipleship mode, I have scoped out your gift. I have scoped out what you're called to do. And now I am just pouring my anointing into you, and you are becoming. You are in a process of becoming what it is that God wants you to become. And I just cover you. And I just cover you. I just help to give you instruction and wisdom and knowledge so you won't kill yourself or so you won't, how they say, you won't damage your ministry before it's time for you to be sent. Because we know some of us are called, some of us are sent, and some of us just got up and just went. And I ain't heard that in a minute there, but some were called, some were sent. I know some people have heard that before, and some just got up and went. And so there's a lot of that going around too. A lot of people just getting up and going. You know, you look at people and say, oh, you were called. Okay, what's the difference between being called and being sent? A whole lot are called, but many are called, but few are chosen. And if you're chosen, then you're sent. So we have a lot of people that were called, but they just got up and went. So what's the difference between those that were sent and those that just went? Both of them were called. So these are the people that say, God gave me a call. Nobody's denying that you have a call, but he didn't tell you to go yet. So you just got up and went, and you were not sent. Sent denotes the apostolicity. The word sent, the apostle, is a sent one. The apostolicity. Jesus tells the church in Matthew chapter 28, which we call the Great Commission towards the end of it. He says, go ye therefore, teaching, baptizing all nations, baptizing every creature in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but teaching all nations, preaching and teaching, and I'm paraphrasing. So he tells us to spread this gospel, and before all of that, he says, all power on earth, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now go ye therefore. So what was that? That was an apostolic transmittance. That was an impartation. All power that I have, I'm now giving it to you. Now go do this with the power that I'm about to give to you. Go do this and go make it happen. But what we have is people, they see I got a call, and they don't want to wait until they're sent. They don't want to wait until they're sent, which means, you know, and I did a message called Lord Have Mercy. It got about 1,600 listens. I think that's the highest amount of listens any show I've done, I've ever recorded and done has gotten. But it's called A Qualified Leader, Order in the Church. And I think I did that message last month. Powerful message. If you get a chance, go back and listen to that message. It got 1,600 hits and views. But it's one of the most powerful messages that I've done in a while. We are living in a day and an age where people are just being, everybody's called. If you're saved, you're called. But did he tell you to go? And when you go before you're sent, which means you fall into the went category, you are under a spirit of rebellion. The Bible says rebellion is at the center of witchcraft. And what people don't understand is, as a prophet, if I come to a house, the moment I see rebellion, I have the ability to decree and to declare that it be put to naught. And that means if I walk into a ministry and that ministry is in rebellion, I can decree and declare. I don't know what power you think you have, but I know what I have. I can decree and declare that this will be shut down. And this spirit of rebellion, this spirit of rebellion is to be revealed, and then it will be shut down. Why? And people say, you can't do that. You're shutting down a ministry because rebellion. Look, rebellion, I will decree it and declare it over a ministry, over the pastor, and over the people until they came to repentance, until they came into what God was telling them to do. People say, well, that's not the Bible. Well, if you turn into your Bible in Kings, in the book of 2 Kings, and I'm not going to preach that. I'm going to play this song before we go. But in the book of 2 Kings, I do want to mention that. Because go to 2 Kings chapter 9, and then we go here. This is another study in the prophetic. This is, man, you see, in the school, these messages came up when I recorded a 15-message series called The School of the Prophetic. It has yet to be released, but, man, that's what some of these allusions came from. I said allusions, not illusions, allusions. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 9, and I want you to read that. I just want you to read that when you get a chance, because if you read 2 Kings chapter 9 and read it all the way over to chapter 11. Because what you will find out is Jehu went and he waged war against the house of Ahab and Jezebel, which was a bunch of witchcraft and rebellion. And you'll see the mind of God, because the Old Testament reveals to us the mind of God towards sin, whereas in the New Testament we see grace, but we see the Spirit, the revelation God is showing to us. The Old Testament reveals God's mind to us towards sin. So we go to the Old Testament because Paul tells in the Corinthians that the things that happened aforetime were for our learning. And we're to go to them, they're for our learning. They're not for us to read and decree and declare laws and to follow them now. They're for our learning, so we can learn how God responded to certain things, and so we can understand the mind of God and the ways of God, and we can move forward in the church to continue to build the church. I'm going to end this session on tonight. I'm going to play Because of Who You Are before I go, but I'm going to end the session on tonight. I just want to recap a little bit. We got into the scriptures. I always want to remind people, look, it's Halloween. Research Halloween. Why are we replacing Halloween with a church event? If Halloween is a satanic event, Halloween is a pagan event, then it should pass just like any other day on the calendar. We should not be subconsciously telling our kids that we must do something on this day because it's such a weighty and it's such a high day, it's such a heavy day that we have to do something in replacement of it. Well, I do it because my kids are young and they got other, who cares? Teach them the truth. Tell them to suck it up and drive on and teach them the truth. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. Research on Halloween. Going back to tongues, we need to have order in the church and in tongues, and connecting that over to being in one accord. The reason I mentioned the scalar waves, because scalar waves was something that it had been discovered that our body uses, our DNA uses at a whole other dimensional level. This is how our brain emits this electromagnetic field that our brain generates, which we know comes from our spirit, and we are pulling information down. It connects us to another realm, which we know is the spiritual realm, to be able to get in, or that metaphysical realm, to be able to get information, to be able to transmit information, to be able to receive information from that realm. And I said that because, that being the case, scientists have found out that, look, mankind has a collective consciousness. We are all connected. What I do does affect you. You are your brother's keeper. And if we all come together on one accord in the natural, we can make things happen. How much more so we come together on one accord in the spirit, and under the banner of the name of Jesus shall we go forth and make things happen. And finally, as prophets, we are calls. When we get the revelation and these messages from God, we're not supposed to be it like everybody else. Why? Because as a prophet, that means we are downloading that which is for the future. We are getting downloads from God that the church does not have yet. And so we are to decree, proclaim, and proclaim, and proclaim it to the atmosphere, and proclaim it to the church. And look, it's going to take some time for them to catch up, because they don't get it. Because we're ahead of them. That's why we must preach it, preach it, preach it until they get it. This is why John the Baptist, he was a prophet. He preached it before his time. Christ was here. Christ was born at the same, around the same time that he was. He preached it, preached it, and preached it. People came out to where he was. And the word that goes forth out of your mouth shall not return void. It shall accomplish the work whereto it was sent. It's going to go out. It's going to come. It's going to bring those that need to be there. You are called to be ahead of, we are called to be ahead of the game. We are called to be ahead of the game. We're going to get information that the church does not have, but it's up to us. It's going to be a lonely walk. It's going to be a walk by yourself. That's why you've had the schools of the prophets. Iron sharpens iron. You need to get around people that are prophetic like you. They can speak into your life. You can speak into theirs. So iron sharpens iron, so you can get trained. You can understand how this walk is. You can understand what's going on, so you won't get. And when you get in those dry spells, call a prophet. Call somebody around. Call somebody that's in the area and make it happen. That's why they had that school of the prophets, that college of the prophets, those group of prophets that came together. So they helped each other out. So, you know, they can be around other people so they would know that they're not crazy, because you'll be by yourself in an area preaching, decreeing, declaring, and proclaiming while people are looking at you like you crazy, Jonah and Noah. They looking at you like you crazy, and while they doing you wrong, you're like, God, okay, I can go somewhere and sit down. I don't have to do all this. I can go somewhere and sit down, get me a job, and be happy, and don't have to deal with all this foolishness, because this is craziness, but it's the will of the Lord. And so we need to train and prepare ourselves for that walk. So all these schools of the prophets out here trying to teach people how to prophesy and teaching them word, they're doing nothing more but blowing their heads up. Unless you walk into a prophet that's been walking this thing out for a while, unless you walk into somebody that's been walking this prophetic and apostolic thing out for a while, they can tell you that this is not easy. The road is not going to always, it is not easy by any, it's not easy by any means, and that you're going to have to build yourself up. And there'll be some days ahead. So you train up yourself and you build yourself up, because you know you're going to have to take some hits in the future. And there's some things that you have to do. So I want to thank you for tuning in and listening on tonight. And I'm going to play Because of Who You Are right now. And we're going to leave out on this note. I want you to be blessed. I thank you for tuning in on tonight. If you think that this has helped somebody, look, send them the message. We just got into the word a little bit. And just begin to just reveal some things and just talk for a little bit. And so we're going to play this song. And we're going to just go forth and let God do what he do. Thank you for listening. This is Because of Who You Are. Again, this is a raw worship. This is raw worship.
Woo! Simply because he is. Not for the things that he's done, but because of who he is. That's why we worship him today. Because he is God. We shouldn't be here today. Some of us should be dead and gone. Some of us should have AIDS. Some of us should be dying from disease. But God said, not so. He's done so much. When I can't think of what to say, I just want to say, God, I thank you, because he told Moses that when Pharaoh asked, who am I? He said, tell him, I am that I am sent you. Today we want to worship the I am in our lives today, simply because he is. Oh, it's a simple song and it says, because of who you are, I give you glory. Hey, because of who you are, I give you praise. Oh, because of who you are, I will lift my voice and sing. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Everybody, let's sing this song to the Lord. Rose again, that he you and I might have life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we have remission of sins. Hallelujah. It's because of who you are. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's not wheel in the middle of a wheel. Hallelujah. He's God. And we just want to worship Him because.
Deserve it, God, but I thank you, God.